Hello, and welcome to the Yearly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting our favorite comics of the year. We'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but may discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this Yearly Comic Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're continuing our Yearly Comic Spotlight number 18 for 2024, picking up from where we left off. All right, move on to the next question.
On to the next question. Question six, where we have your favorite comic book, comic movie, television show, book, or video game. So we have multiple there. And believe it or not, I think for 2025, spoiler alert ahead of time, I think I may pick a book for this category. But I did pick a TV series this time, and I went with a comic one, and it was Penguin on Max. And okay, the funny part is this is going to sound so jaded, but it's not. It's exactly because it didn't feel like a comic property at all. There was slight nods to comic stuff and Easter eggs. He drives a purple car. The look. There's certain things that you'll find DC stuff in there, but it feels like a crime mafia story, almost Sopranos-like. That's what it felt like. And it was top-notch acting. It was Colin Farrell. If you didn't tell me it was Colin Farrell, I never would have guessed it's him. Fantastic acting. I didn't know he had it in him. And it was essentially, for me, it is almost a zero tie-in to the DCU. My wife really liked it too, because it's like a mafia TV series that you're watching. It was good. Really good.
Cool.
Over to you, John.
All right. For mine, I kind of went with two picks because they had a similar kind of vibe to them. For me, Star Trek Strange New World Season 2 and the new Doctor Who series with the 15th Doctor both have a reasonably upbeat look at the future with a sense of wonder, excitement, and it's all going to turn out okay, which really resonates with me these days for some reason. Again, I'm enjoying the episodic nature of Strange New Worlds and Doctor Who. And man, the casting on the new Doctor, he's got such a sense of joy and excitement that had kind of been missing from a couple of the last Doctors. So a ton of fun. If you're not watching the shows, I recommend them.
Very cool. All right, over to Nick's picks. He said, I've had a lot of fun binge watching the whole Superman and Lois show. That's not going on anymore, is it?
No, it ended with the fourth season.
Okay.
And that's sort of the end of the Arrowverse. I say sort of because it started as part of the Arrowverse, but quickly stopped being part of it retroactively.
Ah, okay. And I still have to watch the current season, but the series just concluded in December 2024. Wow, I would have answered my question if I would have read ahead. Right there. Okay. It was charming and engaging, and it was fun to see each member of the Married with Children Superman family get their own storyline. So very cool.
Yeah, they did some good stuff there. I thought it was a good take on Superman and Lois.
Very cool. All right, Nicholas, Dune Part 2, which by the way, Dune Part 2, I think is in my Netflix queue. So I need to watch that. Honorable mention to TV series Fallout and Three Body Problem. Fallout I saw and Fallout was fantastic, epic. Otherwise, slim pickings this year. Thunderbolts could be fun this year though. And Fallout, if you played Fallout 4 and I played it, I'm talking about Xbox 360 time frame. So I played it probably back in, I don't know when it came out, 2008, 2010. I don't remember when Fallout 4 came out. I played the video game and I remembered everything when I was watching the TV shows because that was such a fun game and the TV series was so true to that video game. Really cool.
I've heard of the Three Body Problem. It's on my list to check out at some point, but I haven't come close to getting to it.
Yeah, I never even heard of that. So
it's, I think, a Chinese property, sci-fi type stuff.
Oh, okay. You know what was funny? I thought I would have picked like Squid Game, but actually I think the second season of Squid Game was nowhere near as good as the first. Just FYI, a spoiler for me. Okay, just in case anyone picks Squid Game, which I don't know. All right, X-Man Patrick, he said, I am listening to a lot of books while I plumb. So The Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. I'm a big fan of Aragon by Christopher Paolini and American Dragons in general. Very cool. Fourth Wings is a mix of Harry Potter, Hunger Games, and Aragon. Third book not out yet. Another series is Renegade series by Marissa Meyer. This book is about superheroes and villains centered around a girl villain who infiltrates the hero group to destroy them, but falls in love with the Superman hero's son. So that sounds really kind of cool.
It does sound interesting. I may have to check that out.
Yeah. And then he said, for movie and TV, have not lived up to my expectations. Deadpool versus Wolverine was good. Star Wars Skeleton Crew has been great. But that just started, really. And I have that in my queue to watch, too. Skeleton Crew on Disney Plus. So one thing that's kind of funny is he mentioned the book that had Hunger Games in it. And the book I just started reading, which I know there's 6 volumes out, is Red Rising. And they said for fans of the Hunger Games, my sister was even telling me, I was like, okay, cool, I'm into it. Let's go. All right, over to Zach. He said, I agree with Patrick's response. So he cheated and read. No, mostly. That the big two need to stop catering to a niche population. Oh, I think this was for a different question. While I understand that. Okay, well, should I read this? I think I will.
Yeah, go ahead and read it. I didn't check to see if everybody kept the brackets where they should have been. So his may have kicked off, but we'll apply it to the previous one. But go ahead and read it.
Okay, we're going to rant now. While I understand that comics have always been a medium in which social commentary is espoused, it just feels as if recent years, the Big Two and others have strayed too far into the political realm at the cost of a good story, in my humblest of opinions. I agree, honestly. As far as Green Lantern goes, I would love an anthology series. For me, Green Lantern should have a stronger focus on the core. I agree, and we're getting a Green Lantern core, thank goodness. So I would love tales of all the various members of the core throughout the universe. I get why anthologies are not a big seller for comic book publishers, but I would love it. And I understand him saying that. He would love it. All right, on to Jason Zeller. The Batman 2022 movie. And I'm trying to remember. I saw it. I know this is an older movie, but I had avoided watching it for quite some time. It came on Tubi for a short period. I decided to watch it one day. I remember seeing the trailer for this and was not impressed, and that I would try to have the movie going on in the background while doing some other things. Boy, was I wrong. Okay, I immediately got hooked into the story, both with Batman's opening monologue, I Am the Shadows, as well as Something in the Way, Nirvana song, which seemed to be written for this movie. With no spoilers, let me just say that over the course of the movie, Batman unravels the mystery like an onion with multiple layers. I went to it knowing nothing, and was so glad to have watched it this way. It takes you for a ride that does not let up until the end of the movie. And I remember, I think I did enjoy it. I'm having a hard time remembering everything about it right now.
I still haven't watched The Batman from 2022.
Spoiler alert, John. Sorry. Wow. So one day John will watch it, but I need to rewatch it probably because I don't remember it that well.
I've gotten behind on a number of comic movies because there's been a lot, and there's other TV and other stuff to watch too. So.
Believe it or not, I may have not watched it and I just forgotten about it. So now I want to watch it. All right, Dr. Mo, favorite comic movie, Deadpool Wolverine, favorite show, Superman and Lois season 4.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of people are liking that, Superman and Lois. Okay, and then Marvin, Fury Unleashed. That was a fantastic one. I'd forgot about it. Good pick, Marvin. A roguelike game set in an ever-changing comic book. Your character literally runs from panel to panel. I played for about 60 hours and still haven't beaten it on hard mode. I'm very close. That's based on the movie, which I loved, Fury Max. And I wanted to play the video game. I haven't done it. And so I need to play that. So very cool.
All right. Just to clarify what happened with Zach's picks. For favorite creator, he had Jeremy Adams. He also had artist Dan Mora and Zermanico. And cover artist, no specific cover artist comes to mind. But he'd put a close bracket after Jeremy Adams and a open bracket after cover artist and before no specific. So my parsing thing treated that as 2 separate entries and all of his other stuff got bumped down one.
Oh, you want me to read his favorite pick for the TV show then?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump into the middle of your next thing. His favorite TV show, this is Zach, by the way, that was discussed by John and his sister, The Way Home. Surprising how this kind of story show found its way onto Hallmark. Not sure if it's comic book related, but I love the Cobra Kai show on Netflix. I love that too. It is fantastic. They have remained so faithful to the original movies. It appears season 6 is its final, with a possibility, I've read, of other stuff in the Karate Kid universe down the road. And I actually hope they do have more stuff down the road because it's just been a lot of fun. It's a fun, fun show to watch.
Well, and they've got another Karate Kid movie coming out with Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan.
Very cool. I didn't know that. I pay attention to nothing.
At some point, I'm going to go through all the Karate Kid movies. I think Cobra Kai counts as comic book related because it's a spinoff of Karate Kid. Now, granted, this Karate Kid has virtually no relation to the comic book Karate Kid, other than since DC had the copyright trademark on that, they had to get permission to use it from DC.
Oh, okay. Okay. And by the way, I have to correct myself. I lied about Marvin Fury Unleashed. I thought he was talking about Furiosa that was related to that, and it wasn't. So I lie. I don't know what you're talking about, Marvin. I'm sorry.
I'm curious about the game set in the ever-changing comic world. It sounds interesting.
I know. It does sound cool. I was like, wait a minute. This is not what I thought. I saw Fury Unleashed, and I was thinking Furiosa. My mind is broken. So, Marvin, I apologize.
All right. Next question for 2024. What do you think was the biggest news story of the year for comics?
I'm laughing.
I could probably answer better for 2025 already than 2024.
Yeah.
Because, again, Diamond's bankruptcy. If that doesn't become the biggest news of the year for 2025, that's going to be scary.
Yeah.
For 2024, though, I don't know. Because it felt like a bunch of things happened over 2024, but it didn't feel like a lot actually changed. I didn't feel there was anything that was like the day and date digital back in 2011, the pandemic in 2020, or really anything of that sort.
Yeah.
So I'm sure when we go through the listeners' picks, I'm going to, oh yeah, I should have called that. Because there were definitely big things that happened, but nothing that feels like it was the defining thing of the year for me.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. And when you get to mine, I have a little bit of a cheat in there.
Okay, well, let's go for yours now, yeah.
Okay, I'm cheating here because I'm literally reading my notes to you. I'm writing this on January 17th. That's when I picked my picks. Diamond's Unexpected Warehouse closure, which happened at the end of 2024, and the publisher's trucks had to be rerouted. Previews were delayed for 2 weeks. We didn't get our previews. I had to use digital previews. A lot of people did because we wouldn't have had a preview spotlight show because the catalogs weren't out.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know, although I suspected, and I kind of like put my suspicions online, I'd written about that, that this was a canary in the coal mine moment. And so that was the harbinger moment, was the warehouse closing unexpectedly.
Yeah, certainly, I think that was a major bump in the road. It just felt to me like, yeah, in hindsight, it was absolutely a warning sign.
Yeah.
But to me, it also felt inevitable given they'd lost Marvel, DC,
yeah,
and Image, IDW, and I mean, the list goes on and on.
We just didn't know it happened that quick that after that, we'd get the bankruptcy like a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
Or a week later.
But again, when you lose 80% of your business,
yeah,
and it's funny because I've been watching some stuff where people, it's like, oh, Diamond couldn't handle the competition. You know, no longer being a monopoly. It's like, no. We're now in a tri-monopoly setup. Certain things are only available through Diamond. Certain things only through Penguin Random House. It's not that Diamond couldn't handle the competition, which is not to say that I think they could handle it. But what their downfall was is not that they had to compete against two people on even footing. It's that they had to compete with two people having lost 4/5 of their business.
Yeah, 80% of the business was gone.
Yeah.
And now you get to fight with two missing legs and another missing arm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see what the listeners had to say. I'm curious about this. All right, Nick's picks, the tragic loss of comic book creator and YouTuber Ed Piskor was the worst big news of 2024. Love your friends, listen to The Hurt, and read more comics.
I remember that.
Definitely tragic.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think, to me, the big takeaway from that is you never know what's going on in somebody else's life, no matter how well you think you know them and stuff.
Yeah.
And some people get to the point where there's a straw that breaks the camel's back, and either you think they're doing fine and they just explode at you for no reason or whatever because you don't realize what else is going on in their life. Or the stuff with Ed Piskor, we've seen that with other celebrities over the years where it seems like they've got everything in the world and in their mind they didn't. So again, love your friends. Hell, love your enemies. Be kind to people. Don't poke at people if you don't have to, and you don't have to.
Yeah. And you know, something that's weird and it's changed in our society, and I understand it, but you can have an opinion, but sometimes it's okay to not pile on, especially when someone that you're piling on is online and a real human being. And even if you think what they did maybe was reprehensible, you can drive people to a dark place. If you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say it. That my parents taught me that when I was growing up, and it's true. Do I always live it? No. But I think the planet would be a better place if we did that. Keep it to yourself and talk about it calmly, not piling on and kicking people when they're down.
Piling on, I mean, just the phrase of that.
Yeah.
You're literally tossing more on to them. Everybody has a breaking point.
Yeah.
And we don't want to push anybody to any kind of a breaking point.
I agree.
Yeah.
That was a horrible, great pick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Nicholas. All the horribly done movies and TV shows how come no one realized Madame Web, Craven, and the others were going to be awful? Haven't seen Joker 2 or 1, but not surprised comic book fans didn't watch a musical about a tragic villain.
I've heard bad things. I didn't watch it.
I haven't watched either of the Joker films. I did watch Madame Web, and I think while lackluster, Sony has the Spider-Man corner of the Marvel Universe to do with as they please.
Yep.
They see the wild success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Of course they're going to go digging through the Spider-Man stuff and seeing what they can pull out and try to get into a movie. Of all the stuff they've tried, I don't know that any of them look to me like they would be a success on paper, but sometimes there are surprises and stuff. Madame Web actually would have worked better as a TV show than the movie they did it as, because it was essentially Birds of Prey. But whether people think it's going to be awful or not, there's a certain aspect of use it or lose it for Sony too, I think. So I think there are other considerations than is this going to be the best comic movie ever done that does not in any way, shape, or form excuse the output they've had. Because, again, this is part of why I'm getting behind on my comic book movies and TV shows is there's not a lot of incentive to watch some of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, X-Men Patrick. The new TMNT series, Red Hulk in a movie, but that's died down due to a ton of reshoots. Lost all hope for a good movie. Plus, they made a statement saying it's not about race like the Disney Plus show. Such a turnoff. No need to make a statement like that. And Diamond messing up distribution during the holiday season.
Yeah, there was a lot of shops that didn't get anything from Diamond. And if you got your Marvel and Image from Diamond, they basically didn't have any books to sell.
Mm.
That was a rough holiday for some shops.
Yeah. And that's the worst time of year to do it because in some cases that's a make or break time for some stores.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many stores are in a position where they just don't care how they do in the holiday season.
Yeah. Not many, I would imagine.
Yeah. All right. For GL fan, honestly don't keep up much with the comic book news.
Ah, perfect.
Can understand that. For Chris, it's the announcement that the Mike Grell Warlord series is being collected.
Oh, that was a good pick. Yeah, they're going to do an omnibus of it.
Two omnibus, I think.
Yeah, two omnibi. Perfect. The more the better.
So hopefully that'll be a pick for somebody's best of for 2025.
Yeah, there'll be a preview spotlight clip for people too.
Sure hope so. All right, Jason Zeller. Definitely the biggest story is Diamond declaring bankruptcy. Again, technically 2025, but certainly overwhelming everything from 2024.
Yeah.
At the time of this writing in late January, there seems to be almost daily announcements of publishers leaving Diamond and uncertainty regarding really small publishers. Personally, I'm hoping the smaller publishers survive as many times something will be solicited that will catch my eye and make me want to give that comic or magazine a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. I hope they survive.
I do too. I hope Diamond survives. I know some people over there. They're good people and they're doing the best they can. This is one where it's... Again, technically it's a 2025 story, but it so overshadows, I think, in my mind, everything from 2024.
Yeah.
That's why it's like I couldn't find anything from 2024 that I felt, particularly in the comparison of the first week or two of 2025, that rated as big news.
Yeah. I feel like the news from 2025 might be like the biggest news of decades.
I'm really hoping when we're doing this next year that we're not basically doing an episode saying, wow, wasn't it great when we had the direct market? Weren't those the good old days? Gosh, I wonder what will happen now.
Yeah. And now onto Marvel Unlimited, we're going to read these back issues because there's no new stuff.
This is a time for somebody to come up with a Comics Unlimited and at least get a digital avenue for the smaller publishers.
Something.
It's a shame Comixology was basically dismantled and swallowed by Amazon.
Yeah, that's a little bit sad.
All right, Dr. Mo, the decline of Diamond Comics distributors because it keeps snowballing.
Yep.
And then Marvin, recency bias, but Diamond bankruptcy overshadows everything.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, again, there were a couple of big moments in 2024, the Ed Piskor stuff, but I think Diamond's bankruptcy in and of itself is a big deal. And again, we're just a week or two into it, haven't really seen the ramifications of it yet, but I think the probability that the comic industry will be radically and fundamentally different at the end of the year in a way that it just hasn't been for decades. I mean, the shakeup with the pandemic and the spinning of new distributors, that shook things up, but it was not seismic like when Marvel bought Heroes World, that collapsed, the distributor wars happened, and we got Diamond and just Diamond. That was a game changer for the industry. this is going to be a similar sort of a game changer, but in a way that, because of the health of the industry and the pivotalness of Diamond distributing a lot of these other publishers, most of these other publishers, well, not most, but all but a handful of publishers, this could crater the industry. Hopefully it won't. I think there's a good chance Diamond will somehow pull through or something will happen that makes the industry survive, but yeah.
If the dominoes fall a certain way, it's not out of the question, though.
Yeah, and I think that's the way the dominoes are leaning. I just think it could be pulled back from the edge. I just don't think it's going to be easy.
It's going to be a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest news for 2024 is that it was the prelude for 2025.
Yeah, exactly. The canary in the coal mine. Hey, our warehouse closed, but don't worry, we're rerouting the trucks. It's all good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that was bigger than I thought.
All right, next question.
Okay, the next question is, how would you sum up this past year for the decade in review? And I kind of wrote up a nice little thing. I said, for this year, I think indie comics took over the bulk of our purchases this year. Maybe not the bulk, but they did take up the bulk of mine. They were the biggest third. You were the smallest third. But if you remember, we had book club and we talk with other readers, like Marvin, who buys a lot of books. He buys mostly Image right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Image is like 80% of what he buys. It didn't bode well for the big two as they moved on to Absolute and Ultimate lines. That's what they had to do because their main titles were not working. They were acknowledging that what they were doing with the Legacy world wasn't working, and DC became a little bit re-energized at year end with their All-In initiative. That's how I'd sum it up.
Cool. What's interesting to me is, while I definitely think in our circles and stuff, a lot of people are getting more from the other publishers.
Yeah.
That's clearly not an industry-wide trend, because if it was, since most of those other publishers, not all of them, but many of them are through Diamond, it would have put them in a better position.
That's true. Except for a lot of them were Image, and Image already bailed.
Well, Image, IDW, yeah, there's still quite a few other.
Yeah.
All the important ones is what it comes down to.
Yeah. My Titan Omnibus purchases and Conan stuff was keeping Diamond afloat. That's sad.
Well, as much as you guys love Titan, and they do some excellent stuff beyond just Conan and whatnot, but certainly Conan's a huge part of it. That's one of the bigger publishers at Diamond these days, and it's not that big of a publisher all said and done.
No, they're a back half at best, previously, before everyone leaving.
Yeah, well, the whole concept of still using the term back half and stuff is increasingly archaic.
Yeah, it's true.
Now it's just, it's a Diamond publisher, or it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad. Again, times, they are a-changing.
They are. So over to you.
I would say what summed up the year for me was lackluster content from DC.
Yeah.
Marvel's same old, same old. It's not doing bad. It's not doing great. I'd say they flopped the X-Men franchise.
Yes, they did, in my opinion.
Given how strong the Krakoa era started, the era that started after it just fizzled, at least for me.
Me too.
But for me, I gotta say, the resurgence of kind of what I'm calling Saturday morning comics. Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Thundercats, Gatchaman. And there's a lot of those properties that are really getting people's interest. Flash Gordon's another one. And whether they're literally Saturday morning cartoons or not, most of them have had a cartoon there, whether they started there or not. I think it's interesting because a lot of what seems to be getting attention are what's really coming down to licensed properties.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not excited about the X-Men stuff. We're not. I mean, even with the Justice League Unlimited relaunch, I mean, people are interested, but I wouldn't say they're chomping at the bit or wildly excited.
No. It's like you said, licensed properties. The Energon universe has got the heat behind it.
Yeah.
Which is licensed books.
That's another kind of Saturday morning thing with the Transformers stuff. Absolutely. Transformers G.I. Joe.
Yep. Yep.
So I think that kind of stuff is definitely getting a resurgence right now. I think that's good, but I think it's also a little scary.
I agree with you. Good, but scary, because that's not the bread and butter of the industry traditionally.
Yeah.
It's not what keeps the lights on at the retailers.
If it keeps the lights on, that's great. It's not what should be the bread and butter of the industry.
Exactly. I agree. All right. Over to Nick's picks. And he says, independent comic book publishers found success in appealing to 80s and 90s nostalgia. Same thing that you said, John.
Yeah.
With big hits like G.I. Joe and small hits like Grommets finding their way into the conversation this year. The big two took a decidedly more what-if type approach to shake up the event fatigue. And I would agree, because literally the Absolute and Ultimate is kind of like a what-if. And they literally came out with new what-if books and new Elseworlds books at both Marvel and DC.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to read that comment, and I think it's right on all of them.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that's kind of funny, going to that nostalgia sort of a deal, both Marvel and DC reprinted a 12-issue classic series. It was Secret Wars at Marvel, it was Crisis at DC. We're seeing a lot more of the facsimile editions and things of that sort. So we're hearkening back to yesteryear versus coming out with new properties and going on the strength of that.
Hey, remember this great series? And you don't want to pay for Marvel Unlimited or DC Infinite Ultra, so here it is in print format, because that's what you want to read.
Yeah.
It's sad, because you're not enjoying what we're currently doing.
For pretty much the cost of that facsimile edition of Secret Wars or Crisis, you could have signed up for their digital service, read the original, granted digitally, not in print, and everything else that was tied to it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah. All right, over to Nicholas. He says, bleak with a few bright spots, if any. You know, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that. And the next one by Patrick, he's like, chaos. I can't argue with that either.
Yeah. There's some really good succinct ones here.
Yeah, chaos, bleak. All right, I love this. GL Fan said, I don't follow the comic book industry nearly as closely as I did a few years ago. I read fewer comics than I did before. With my somewhat waning interest, I just don't follow the ins and outs of the industry as much as I once did. And I can understand that.
I would almost sum that up with summing up the years. Who cares?
Who cares? Hey, I like Green Lantern. That's what he said. And I agree.
Yeah.
Jeremy Adams doing a good job. Chris was blah.
Yeah.
I love that. Blah. Okay, Jason Zeller, he's like, there continues to be a consolidation of publishers leaving Diamond. Yes, it feels like an uncertain time to be a comic fan. Yes, I would agree with all that.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we have Dr. Moo. DC and Marvel find success with ultimate versions. Yes, they did. Of the characters with the absolute and ultimate lines. Meanwhile, Distribution Wars 2 starts to get really ugly and has substantial consequences for retailers, publishers, and fans. And that pretty much sums it up. And I like that he used the word ugly, because it could get ugly.
Well, there's already been one or two things that I think were a little that way. I don't know that it's gotten to the point where I would consider it distributor wars at this point, and I think that's the problem. If Lunar and Penguin Random House were fighting each other to get contracts with the publishers they don't have, that would be a distribution war.
Yeah.
And I think the big problem we have is that doesn't look to be on the horizon. And instead of the distributors fighting for publishers, publishers are going to have to fight for distribution.
Yeah.
And that's a fundamentally different dynamic than the distribution wars of the 1990s.
Yeah. I'm starting to think, and I don't want anyone to take this comment the wrong way, because I know there's some people who really love DC, and this isn't meant a slight at DC in any way. So please don't take it that way. But I feel like Diamond shutting down with the pandemic in 2020, then DC made that move to open up two new distributors with the biggest comic retailers, the competitors of the other shops out there. That felt like, maybe looking back, it's a cut off your nose to spite your face type moment. You know, hey, we're going to ship no matter what. We wanted to get books out no matter what, which ultimately could lead to the downfall and no more books. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that would be almost like weird, almost karmic level comeuppance.
Yeah, again, I'm real curious how this all plays out. I do think a lot of it stems back to the pandemic, and I don't think there was a good call for Diamond to make.
Yeah.
I think they made the responsible one, because if they had kept distributing books as if nothing was happening, I think we would have seen stores go out of business, the stores being the one kind of paying the price, and there'd be nowhere for the publishers to sell to.
Well, you might have no comic shops in California. They couldn't order material and everyone else got it and all their customers are buying online and leave their shops.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have had catastrophic stuff like that.
It would be interesting to peer into a parallel world where Diamond did not stop. They kept DC, and what state the industry is in now as a result, if it's still around.
Yeah.
Because it either would still be around, thriving, it'd be no change, it'd be gone, whatever. We just don't know.
Man, that'd be cool. John, there's your book you need to write. From the comic book angle, Time Alter series.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Prediction for the next year.
I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with the obvious of things change.
Yes.
Admittedly, I picked this after Diamond filed for Chapter 11, 2 weeks into 2025. As I've said already, the industry is very likely to just look radically different at the end of 2025 than it did at the start of it. It looking the same as it did at the start of 2025 is simply not in the cards. When we had this sort of change in the 1990s, the industry went from boom to bust in fairly short order. I remember seeing the number of stores in the town I was at cut in half. From there was a store just all over the place, like 2 dozen stores, to can I find a store? The distribution chaos during the pandemic was minor in comparison to what we're about to go through, I think. Hopefully I'm wrong on this. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I'm wondering if Kickstarter is going to promote comic books and campaigns like that more towards like the Wednesday Warrior crowd than they had been, and how that plays out, because it's a staggeringly different dynamic to, I go to the store, I buy what comes out that week, to go to a Kickstarter saying, yeah, I want this whenever it comes out, and I don't know how sales are going to be, how stores are going to survive, how publishers are going to survive, how even the remaining distributors, including Diamond, because they're not gone yet, how this is going to play out for them.
Yeah.
So definitely going to unknown territory. Again, chaos, as X-Men Patrick had said, things will change. That is guaranteed. I will be shocked if I'm here at the next yearly comic spotlight saying, well, I called that one wrong.
Things are going swimmingly. It's like amazing.
It's just how it was at the beginning of 25. Who'd have thunk it?
Wow. All right. I'm going to just kind of like glide on in there with yours. Okay, I'm going to say, here's what I think is going to happen. 2025, we'll have a lot of shop closings. The shops that are specifically a Diamond exclusive orders, they're a lot of them are, we've read from the beat, they're older, they're set in their ways, they're closer to retirement. I think they're just going to wrap it up. So it will be harder to find shops. Do those customers just leave the industry, or do comic sales go down for all the other comic publishers, even at the other distributors? I think the latter is more likely to happen, fewer readers.
Well, do you think comics are good enough that people would go the extra mile to go find another store?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right now, I'm not trying to be cynical, but if I'm right now, my old shop is in Sanford. There's none around me real close, but Sanford's not that far. I drive down there. It's like 15 minutes. I'm there. If that one shut, now I got to go to Longwood. I probably wouldn't go to Longwood to pick up a comic there. I just wouldn't. It's too far.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be another one in the mall. The mall shut down. They're going to be bulldozing that. Another sign of ancient times.
Well, presumably people go either to the closest shop or the one they like the best.
Yep.
If that's no longer viable because it closed down or whatever, are they going to go to the one that they presumably didn't like as much or isn't as close?
No.
If there's good enough content, yeah. I just don't know that there's good enough content for most people to go that extra mile, almost literally in some cases.
Right now it's more habitual than, wow, I need this.
Yeah.
With that, I think tons of publishers are going to shutter. And by tons of publishers, I'm talking about the small ones. Diamond, I don't think they'll make it out of it. I think Diamond's going away. And I think when Diamond goes away, the previous catalog will disappear.
Well, given they publish it, yes.
Yeah, the previous catalog will be gone and Free Comic Book Day will be a thing of the past.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but they drove it.
They drove it. They didn't originate it. I think Joe Field could get some other people, and potentially Lunar and or Penguin Random House may pick up some of the slack on that. Don't know.
Yeah, if they want to. That's a big...
If they want to, yes.
Yeah. Publishers, I think some publishers will try to go the show route, Indiegogo, Kickstarter, to stay alive, and they will just be on that route going around like Zenoscope does with all the shows, just trying to make ends meet. How long do they do that for? Not that long, I don't think. And I think we may see possible digital movement. And if that happens, I think we go to reading old stuff and new trades that are written for the trade in the future. Because I think the more and more people that move to digital, it can't fund new single issues at $5 or $6.
Certainly not with the subscription model. If it was buying per issue, which I think is price-wise insane, but and not where I think the action is happening. Maybe, but again, on a flat subscription, whether you read one or read a million for the $5 or $10 a month, the economics just don't work, I don't think.
Yeah. So me, I'm more on the bleak side, but it may take longer than a year for it to play out.
Yeah. Yeah. I just fear that whatever's playing out over a year from now is just the aftermath, not the meat and potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah, not the main event. Yeah.
Yeah, the main event, if it goes past middle of the year, and that, again, depends how fast or slow things go with Diamond.
Yeah, we're just seeing the flesh rotting off the carcass. It's already died.
Well, we've heard the gunshot. The body hadn't hit the ground yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect way to put it.
All right. Let's see what the listeners have to say.
Yeah.
All right, Nicholas, a prediction, wishful thinking, Wheel of Time Season 3 will pick up from the improved second season and do a home run with action and suspense.
Oh, cool.
Okay. X-Men Patrick had been predicting the collapse of DC or Diamond for the past few years. One may actually happen. Ahem, Diamond. I don't mean the company as a whole, but maybe we won't get previews anymore. If Diamond's still around, I think we'll likely get previews. That's how they do their business. They're losing a lot of premier publishers. I would say they've lost the premier publishers. They lost DC, Marvel, Image, the big three, IDW, Mad Cave, Dark Horse, soon to be Boom, and others. Who's left? Yes, they're still in Diamond, but get shipments from Penguin. Penguin does free shipping, but comic stores are tired already with three different distributors, three different shipping, three different order forms. That lack of newer updates, I could see stores saying, I'm done. I'll get the big three, and maybe not the Diamond Indies. Then you could drop Diamond altogether and still get some indies from those distributors without missing too much. I know some places have boycotted Lunar when they first started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, the amount of sales I think the average shop is getting through the publishers at Diamond is not huge. Whether it's enough to make a do they stay in business or not difference, I don't know. Certainly Titan, Conan, a few things like that are certainly bigger deals than I think the majority of what's in, I was going to say the back of Diamond, but really that's all that's left. Wow, yeah. I think it comes down to how many stores want to fight through this and how many, they're at a point where they can call it quits and they do call it quits. So we'll see.
Yeah.
GL fan, pretty sure my current level of comic reading won't change a whole bunch. Chris, that I'll be buying my first omnibus in ages when Mike Grell's Warlord Omni comes out.
Hey, there you go.
Sounds good.
That's a positive thing.
Yeah. Jason Zeller, this is a hopeful prediction that other comic companies welcome the smaller publishers so they can continue to get their books out. Otherwise, I'm also hoping that the really small companies will get picked up by other distributors if Diamond is no longer distributing comics. Yeah, I hope something happens for the smaller publishers. Back when there was a distributor that was primarily dealing with the smaller publishers getting back stock to stores and stuff like that, they stopped a while back. This would be a good time if they wanted to start back up. But again, who would want to do that right now? Business-wise, it doesn't seem like a good decision.
Yeah, it does not.
Dr. Mo, consolidation of comic book publishers. Again, this goes towards, are the small companies going to kind of unite in some way, shape, or form? On the one hand, I think that's absolutely the right move for them. On the other hand, attempts to have like an umbrella publisher to get better printing deals, to simplify the trafficking of books, have failed in the past because of the personalities involved and people being their own company because they want to call their own shots.
Yeah, and not be beholden to whatever the main umbrella says.
Or not even what they say, but having to deal with that. I think the personalities involved are not the type that are going to say, yep, let's all band together and go fight the big fight together.
Yeah.
Hopefully this may shake them out of that. I don't know. Marvin, seems inevitable, not a prediction, but the unfortunate contraction of small independent publishers.
I think that's inevitable. Yeah.
I am having a hard time seeing a path that does not lead towards fewer publishers, and that I don't think is in anybody's best interest.
I agree.
So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting year.
Very. It's fascinating. I look daily for news, and I never used to do that. Every day I'm checking.
Yeah, I follow a couple of places and stuff, but I'm starting to bookmark a couple of articles for just kind of the timeline of the bankruptcy and stuff like that, and when things are kind of happening.
How it went down.
Or at least when I find out about them, because it's not like I'm chomping at the bit to get hot off the press's news from the first site that's got it.
So on to the next section?
Yeah.
All right. This is the podcast questions. And what has been your favorite comic book page episode and why? I have two. One, I put my favorite episode, and this is kind of like selfish, believe it or not, is the monthly spotlight. And I say because it's the least amount of work, preparation, but it's not. You're reading all the comics that you read in a month, and I have to stay on top of them because we have to meet and record and talk about all those books, and I have to type out notes and all that stuff. But it feels like I'm going to read them anyways. So just reading them, it's not like an assignment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's like, oh, monthly, it's like, oh, I don't really have to prepare that much. I got my notes already created. But my favorite for back issue spotlights, and I did put this down, is Warlord spotlights. And that's just because it's in that wheelhouse of stuff that I really like. It feels Conan-esque, even though it's not the same thing. And it's that time frame that I really enjoy. I really like Mike Grell. Mike Grell's fantastic. He is a gem of the industry, and he created a wonderful world that needs to be brought into an animation world because it's just been a lot of fun. I really love it.
Mm-hmm. That's a property I really think, if they wanted to show that DC is more than just superheroes, would be a great one to put out there. I think it's very marketable.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was mine. How about you, John?
For me, it was the Gilligan's Island episode I did with my sister. Just doing the research on that was a ton of fun.
Oh, cool. I love that episode, too.
Reading the book on the backstory of the show, how it got made, and all that kind of stuff was fun. Finding that original theme song they didn't use, some of that was just, again, a lot of fun, very enjoyable.
Yeah. My wife was listening to you and your sister record in the car the other day, and she can tell you guys get along well. She's like, you guys have good chemistry and energy, but his energy is different with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you've known each other longer. You live close to each other. You see each other all the time.
It's also a face-to-face recording, which is different too.
Exactly. You guys have a vibe, so
yeah,
the vibe works.
Well, she'll start telling a story or something. It's like, I think I know where this is going.
Yep.
9 times out of 10, I'm right. That 10th time, though, really throws me.
All right. On to the listener picks?
Yeah.
Okay. First up, we got Nicholas, who said, I just listened to Camelot 3000. Which was fun. And by the way, Nicholas, we're still meeting for the book club, the third part, at the time of this recording, but who knows when this is going up.
This is going up after 2 nights from now when we're having the last book club on it.
Oh, okay.
I don't edit that fast, and even if I did, there's not a Monday between now and then to release it on.
Yeah, and Nicholas, by the way, I think he's overseas. I think he's in Europe somewhere, so he probably, time-wise, it wouldn't work for him anyways.
I think he's in Sweden, it sounds like.
Yeah. If you want to wake up at like 4 a.m. and be online with us. Okay. He said, it was published in Sweden also, but back then, I didn't have all the issues. Have bought the collection, but not read it yet. The pod came out after New Year's, so it disqualified. I eagerly awaited the Marvel's Review podcast to hear your comment on Black Girl Magic line that I pointed out in last year's review, which didn't happen. Still, the Marvels and the Ashoka pods were fun.
Oh, the Marvels, the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Ashoka, the TV, that was...
That was the Star Wars.
Star Wars thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool, cool. All right. Well, hey, by the way, Nicholas, let us know what you think on Slack about Camelot 3000, because I thought it was a ton of fun, and it was a British artist who did it, and the writer, I'm trying to remember. Who's the writer?
It was Mike Barr.
Mike Barr. And he did a fantastic series. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I'm just curious how much Arthurian legend they know over in Sweden, probably more than we do. Over here in the U.S.
I would think in a lot of the world it's decently known, but that's my bias here in the States. Obviously, in the U.K., it's going to be really well known. Like in the States, it'll be fairly well known. Beyond that, maybe it drops off. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's been used in enough pop culture that they've picked it up from somewhere, even if they haven't read the original.
Yeah. And Nicholas lives in a beautiful country. I've been there. It's beautiful in Sweden. I love it there. Just an aside. All right. X-Men Patrick. I listen to only 2 shows, really, Spotlight and Previews. I don't have a huge want or knowledge of 80s comics. No connection with TV shows or movies, really. Aw, that's sad, but I understand.
I assume he means the monthly comic Spotlight, then.
Yeah, yeah, the monthly comic Spotlight, for sure.
Because it doesn't sound like the back issue Spotlights.
No, 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 because those are typically 80s and 70s comics. Okay, Zach, and he put, same as Patrick's response, I listen to only 2 shows, really. The Spotlight, monthly Spotlight, and Previews Spotlight. Occasionally, I'll listen to an old comic review show or a TV movie review if it's something I'm interested in. And by the way, I just listened to your Top Gun, and I really like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys had been to Miramar. You guys used to go there all the time with your dad. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I used to live not far from there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was cool. I'm looking forward to Maverick. Sorry, I'm off on a tangent. Okay, over to Chris. I really enjoy the monthly Spotlight and the Warlord episodes. Cool. Hey, those are the same ones that I like to record, Chris.
Yeah,
so
ton of fun.
That works. And then Jason Zeller. The back issue Spotlights are by far my favorite, but the monthly comic Spotlights are insightful as well. I enjoy hearing about classic stories that I've not read for years, or a reminder that there are great stories I still need to read. The Legion Spotlight is my favorite.
Cool.
Followed closely by the Warlord Spotlights. All right, cool. All right, Dr. Mo, non-comic related, I thought the Spencer Sisters season 1 episode was a hoot. Comics related, I always enjoy listening to the monthly comic Spotlight episodes. Cannot really select a favorite. Ah, very cool, Dr. Mo.
Interesting you called out the Spencer Sisters episode, because there are some that I do that I feel are a little more tangential, and a few I feel a little even more than that. And that was kind of in that area, but it was a fun show. So, you know, we watched it. We figured we'd record on it. It's always interesting to me which episodes do better than I would have expected.
And that's one that he liked, which was cool. All right. Oh, and then Marvin. Preview Spotlight is always my favorite because he likes to go shopping. No. Which I participated more consistently in contributing clips. I agree. By the way, thank you to every one of you guys who does send in clips. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, totally appreciated. Be much shorter episodes without you guys. And I enjoy hearing what you guys are interested in. Again, I appreciate everyone answering these questions. It gives me a sense of where people are at.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on to you, John.
The next question is, how do you participate in the comic book page community, and what would encourage you to participate more? My answer is, do I participate in Slack, Forum, Preview Spotlight, Book Club, others? Yes, I do. Host most of the episodes, edit them, release them, all that kind of stuff. I'll be honest, I'm not as active, say, on Slack as I might like to be, but it comes down to just time. It takes a bit of effort to get these episodes edited, released, and prepping for the next one and stuff. But it's a ton of fun. And again, to me, this is all about listener engagement and getting people involved.
I agree. All right. Me?
Yeah.
All right. I contribute on Slack quite a bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, but anyone talks on there, I'll talk with you. I always chime in. And then the forum, I mostly post my shipments. So every time I get a shipment from Eric every week, I post it in there. And then I also, like, if I see something really important on Slack, which, like, we had an argument on continuity, I'll copy and paste the whole thread and stick it into the forums. So it's like kind of archived.
Cool. I appreciate that, because again, stuff rolls off Slack and is gone.
Yeah. So I'm like, we need to get a heated argument so I can post some spicy tidbits on the forum.
An engaged discussion. I don't want a heated argument. An engaged discussion.
Yeah. All right. And then Preview Spotlight, I always record clips unless I'm on vacation, which does happen sometimes. And I listen to it and I buy stuff and add stuff. Book club, I try to be on most of the book clubs. I actually regret I wasn't on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones because I wasn't a fan and I was busy. And that's one of the few I've missed, because honestly, even if I don't like the book, I like just hanging out with the guys. You know, there's a bunch of us. We shoot the breeze for half the time before we even get to the book.
Yeah. Yeah. Ton of fun.
And then other than that, that's pretty much as many ways as you can get involved as I can think of.
Yeah. You're totally involved. I totally appreciate that.
Yeah. So.
All right, let's see what the listeners have to say. X-Men Patrick, I'm a slacker. Try to do every other month with previews. Hit the book club up recently just to hang and say hi. I'm in my sports kids parent era, so I'm super busy most days. Totally understand that. When you got kids that age and you're doing all the getting them to the games and training and all that kind of stuff, that great use of your time. So, totally understand that.
Yeah.
GL fan, I'm a slacker, and only from time to time. Don't listen to nearly as many comic book page podcasts as I once did, but this is still one of the ones I listen to most regularly. I enjoy hearing what others are saying as far as comic books are concerned.
Cool.
Chris, I participate on Slack in the book club meetings. Yep, regular in the book club. Ton of fun to hang out with him then.
Yeah, and honestly, that's a lot of fun. We get to see his dogs, too, in the book club.
Jason Zeller, Slack channel mainly, but have tried to be more consistently active with the Preview Spotlight clips, and he's doing great on that. Do enjoy book club, but has become more difficult schedule-wise since my daughter is gymnastics at the same time as most of the meetings. Hope to join you guys more in the future.
It's fun when you come.
Yeah, a ton of fun when he comes. I noticed he hadn't been making it lately. And again, you got kids, you got to do the parent thing. That's not only the responsible thing to do, but hey, we were all kids once and we liked having our parents' attention. So, you know.
Exactly. You are forgiven, Jason.
I'm not forgiven. He is applauded for doing that. He's doing the right thing. We would love to have him at the book club, too.
Yeah, actually, he is doing the right thing. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Dr. Moe, try to participate in Slack, forums, and Preview Spotlight whenever possible. However, work and school leave little time to do everything I enjoy.
Yep.
Totally understand that. School, again, good use of your time. Not maybe the funnest use, but good use. And then Marvin, Slack, book club, and Preview clips intermittently. So, again, a lot of good participation and stuff. And it sounds like what would encourage people to participate more is more time, fewer scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Essentially more time.
More time.
Cannot help you with that, I am sorry.
I wish we could do that. Yeah. Okay, I am taking over the penultimate question. And the penultimate question is, what suggestions do you have for the Comic Book Page podcast? All right. And I actually only had one suggestion. And when you hear how this sounds, it's not meant as a cop-out type thing. I said an additional co-host for industry roundtables. And by industry roundtables, I'm talking about it's tough to get them in here, but I like it when Eric speaks it up from time to time.
Yeah.
But when we have the industry stuff going on, and also I kind of miss like you and Sam. It's tough. You can't do the numbers anymore. The numbers aren't there, but like you guys would do the TV shows,
mm-hmm.
like stuff and the numbers. So it's like that other co-host that steps in for a special episode every now and then was always kind of fun for me because I didn't really participate. I just consume.
I totally get that. And I am trying to coordinate with Eric on discussion around the Diamond bankruptcy and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of coordinating schedules.
And he's tough too because he has two little ones, I know.
Yeah. He's got the whole family thing. I've been a little busy of late, so yeah.
And two jobs. He works and has a comic shop.
Yeah,
too.
That whole comic shop thing eats up a little of his time.
Yeah.
But I am trying to do that. It's just that kind of a stuff. I know there are a lot of other places, podcasts, YouTube channels, blogs, websites. They were on the bankruptcy the minute it happened. If you're looking for breaking news and you're looking here, you're looking in the wrong spot.
Yeah. I think yours is more informed because the dust is kind of settled and you're kind of starting to get a feeling for what's coming and what's going to happen.
Yeah, I like to give a little more thought than just what's a hot take or the rant of the day.
The industry's going down overnight. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw some of the coverage of the bankruptcy and it was impassioned.
Yeah, it was someone's screw this company or screw that company, that stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rant, and I get where they're coming from, but I felt they were interpreting events differently than I did in a couple of places.
Yeah. Over to you, John. What would make it better? Do you have any suggestions?
For me, more listener engagement. Getting more different voices on the preview spotlight would be nice. We've got a regular group of people contributing. We're usually doing close to 2 hours, sometimes a little more, on those episodes, so it's not like we've got a shortage of content, but we get the same voices all the time, and I'd like to hear other people maybe who are into manga or horror or just have other insights. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. Hop on the Slack channel and engage with the community. We've got a great group of people here, but there are times where I do feel like I put episodes out and it's crickets. Like the comment on the Spencer Sisters episode.
Yeah.
Should I have done it now? I feel like, yes, that was worth doing because I heard somebody, yeah, I loved the episode. It was fun. That keeps the podcast going. It's as simple as that. I'm not making any money off of this. There's one YouTuber I follow who owns his thing as he's mainly doing it for the likes and subscribes kind of thing. Essentially, that's how it goes here. I want to talk about comics, so let's talk about comics. And you talking to your pod player as it's playing doesn't count. I can't hear it.
You have ears and you can't hear. You have eyes. You can't read.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, more listener engagement is what it comes down to for me. And there are different ways that can take.
All right. Over to the listener picks then.
Yeah.
Okay. First up, we got X-Men Patrick. Keep up the good work. Huh. Cool. And then we have Zach, who said, I love the comic book reviews. Keep that up. It may be my oversight, but a return to a more roundtable discussion about a variety of topics would be interesting. That kind of cribs on mine, and I can even be in the roundtable, but it seems like we need that third person to start, like, I don't know, vibing and talking about some impassioned stuff.
Well, there's the industry roundtable stuff, and I think having somebody like Eric, who's in the industry, definitely needed for that. I'm wondering with Zach, and please chime in later, Zach, are you talking about roundtable discussions in general of varying topics and stuff, or just industry-specific, or what? Because there have been a couple that I have some ideas for, but I need something that gets me from the it's an idea to it's worth scheduling and doing the episode.
So it depends on what you mean by that.
Yeah.
All right. Chris says, keep on keeping on. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Jason says, keep up the great job, John and James and company. I would love to hear more about how you all perceive the industry is doing. I think we have discussed that, and you will hear more on the Slack channel, Jason, and more on future episodes, just FYI. I know we do not have the numbers of how much comics are selling, but there seems to be enough industry-shaping news that would be great to hear you guys covering it. So he wants more of like a hot takes type thing.
We do have a venue for this. And it was one that was getting used more about a year ago than it is now, and that's the Q&A stuff. Because when we're doing the monthly comic spotlight, if we've got specific questions versus just what's happening with the industry, certainly happy to discuss those.
Yeah, and actually, Jason's pretty good. Like, you ask us questions sometimes about Conan, you ask me some questions.
Mm-hmm.
But literally any of you guys out there, Brawlinator, people who I don't know, Nicholas over in Sweden, you could ask us a question that you just have about comics or whatever in general. And at the end of the monthly comic spotlight, we'll answer your question so you can personalize it and ask us whatever you want. And you take control of the conversation at that point.
We've got a thread on the forum to put those in. I try to check it right before we record the monthly comic spotlight. I usually check it a couple of days before. So if you wait to the last minute, sometimes you get missed because you get a little busy or whatever. But yeah, we always try to check that for current questions. And I think definitely over the coming months, that may be something we want to add to the monthly comic spotlight in some way, shape, or form at the end of just, is there any big news? And again, if you want to know what I think about something, ask.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to just go on the Slack channel because it's the most active and just put, hey, everyone, here's the link to the Q&A. We're recording the monthly spotlight. Any questions you have, anything. It doesn't have to be about comics. You can ask me about how do I like working out. I don't care. Whatever you want to ask, you can ask it. I'm not saying you have to ask that specific question.
I was going to say, most people listening are probably going to want more comic-related ones, but
yes.
We're not technically limiting it to that. That's true.
Anything you want, but comic-specific would be probably what other listeners would want to hear. Dr. Mo, once the Astro City spotlights conclude, hope you consider covering JSA by David Goyer, James Robinson, Jeff Johns and company, and or Captain America by Grunewald. And by the way, I believe both options have been discussed in the past. Yeah, I'm pretty sure John and I talked about Captain America by Grunewald, and I'm pretty sure we talked about Jeff Johns' JSA.
Yeah.
As potential books.
I think with the Captain America one, we may want to vary the format just a little bit. For the Warlord and Astro City, we've been going issue by issue and stuff for the most part. We may want to go a little more higher level and just try to cover like 6 issues at a whack. Because like I've got the omnibus here, and it's like 2 inches thick, and it's volume 1.
Yeah.
If we were to go 4 issues at a time, it'd take forever. If we were to go kind of blow by blow or whatever, but just what's happening in these issues, get the high level and stuff like that. But definitely, I'm a huge Captain America fan. I'm an even bigger fan of Mark Grunewald. He was one who passed way before his time.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to doing that. I just want to make sure we could get through that in a timely-ish manner.
Yeah, we don't want to spend 40 years on it.
No. And it may be we decide to do, almost going to suggest 12 issues at a whack and just do it at, again, high level if here's the sorts of things that happened or whatever. But we need to read the first couple and just see what the writing style is like at the start of the run.
Yeah. Be like, oh, that took me 3 hours to read. That wasn't fun.
Yeah. I don't want it to be a grind because, you know, that's the thing I think people don't fully understand about some of these episodes is reading those 4 issues of Warlord, maybe that just takes an hour. Maybe Astro City, it may take a little more than an hour. You know, maybe 2 or whatever for that Camelot 3000. That was 12 issues we read for that. It takes a little time to read through it, formulate your thoughts, and be ready to record on that.
Plus, we still have to read our monthly comics for the monthly spotlight. We can't let them stack up.
Yeah, and plus I got to do, what is it? Oh yeah, the editing.
The editing. Yeah, that's going to tie into my last thing. Yeah, so that was the last one. So over to you, John, for the finale.
Yeah, this is kind of the catch-all of any additional comments. And really, for me on this, it's thank you for filling out the survey and stuff, giving your input. I love hearing what you guys are thinking about, what you're liking, what you're not. Do not feel like this is the only time per year you can do it. My door is always open. My email address, there's a little email button at the bottom of every page of the comic book page website. There's Slack, there's the forum. I'm easy to get a hold of. Love talking about comics and want to hear what you guys are thinking and if there's more I could be doing to make the podcast better for you guys.
Cool. Well, I was going to say, one, thank you to you, John, for creating this podcast because legit, this was one of my first comic book podcasts I listened to. And it was like the weekly spotlight I was listening to. And then it'd be episodes here and there. It was the numbers. Because back then you had trades with, I think mm-hmm. it was TJ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you did the Sam with the comics. And then you started doing stuff with Eric. And then I became a co-host. And it's been a fun ride. And I especially wanted to thank you for the editing, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of people don't know this, but John puts in about twice as long. Whatever we record here, like right now, you guys are not going to get a 2.5 hour podcast, but we're at 2.5 hours right now on the dial. But you're going to go through there and you're going to take out the ums, the ahs, the noises if I, you know, had heavy breathing. And it makes a world of difference in the professionalism, because like when I listen to other podcasts and I hear eating or bodily functions or just heavy breathing, it's distracting. And there's so many people who don't take it serious, and you really do. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate you appreciating that, because it does take some time.
Yeah.
But there's an aspect of, I want to put out a good podcast. And both my parents were in radio, television and stuff back in the day. My grandfather on one side was too, so there's a certain amount. Maybe it's just in my DNA and stuff, but it's amazing how big of a difference, like you said, taking out the ums, the ahs, the false starts, the pauses and stuff can make. I do the same thing on the preview spotlight episodes. That's why I really appreciate when people send in the clips early. Matter of fact, I think I've already gotten Jason's for this next one, and it's not even the start of February yet. So
wow,
it's amazing. It's great.
Yeah, that's really good. And then the last thing I just wanted to throw out there, I did want to thank everyone who listens, and
yeah,
especially the listeners who contribute, because I've really grown a friendship with people who I've either talked with on Slack, and I haven't met you, but especially people that I get to know in the book club, and I've seen them face to face, and we talk. We may not agree on everything, but we all love comics, and I feel like these are all my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ton of friends. I felt like when Drew was your co-host, I felt like he was a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Never met the guy. And I feel like Frolinator's a friend of mine. I felt like Mike Myers, when he sends in a clip, he was a friend of mine, because you get to know people and their habits and stuff. So thank you. And please, if you're just listening, please, please get involved some way, just on the Slack channel, because if you don't want to talk and you don't want to record clips, you can just type and just say, hey, how you doing? Here's a question I have. Or good job, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I totally appreciate all the listeners, but it's kind of an ephemeral appreciation.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about them specifically until they speak up.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
You know, once they speak up, I can appreciate them specifically, which is even better.
Yes.
All right, let's go for the listener picks.
All right.
Nicholas, another comment on repeat. Where did the Lazarus comic go? I'm still waiting on a continuation of Star Wars comics that's not a bunch of miniseries.
Me too.
Lazarus, Astro City. And of course, then there's always Non-Player, which is a non-starter. X-Men Patrick, sorry for the long responses. No worries, they were good. GL Fan, great show. Sorry I provide so little input throughout the year. I really do enjoy the show you produce, so thank you. Chris, it's a scary time in comics with the news of Diamond's problems. Going forward, I'm thankful for the back issues on DC Infinite and Marvel Unlimited. As I've said before, there's some real good reading in there. He is not kidding. There's a ton of great material there.
Yeah.
I've got to wonder if that's part of why I felt this was just kind of a so-so year, is I've been reading some Legion stuff I've been enjoying. Astro City, of course, is wonderful. We've been getting some really good stuff with Warlord. And then I'm comparing some of the current comics to that. They don't hold up.
Yeah, they don't.
If you haven't checked out DC Infinite and Marvel Unlimited, they're going to cost you $5 to $10 a month, depending on how good of a deal you get. And if you hold out a little bit, you can get a pretty good deal, particularly on the Marvel one. So that's worth doing. You've got access to so much of their back catalog. It's not even funny.
Yeah. And now that I've been using that Kindle thing,
mm-hmm.
You were telling me about the Kindle Unlimited. I was just looking at it. They have a ton of graphic novels in Kindle Unlimited. Image stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of indie stuff and Marvel and DC. Just a ton of material. And it pops up randomly. If you download it, you have it. There you go.
Well, and if you're not into the subscription thing, and there's a number of reasons you might not want to be, Hoopla, going through your library and stuff, that's a way to get comics.
Yeah.
Also, keep an eye on Humble Bundle.
Oh, yeah.
Periodically, they'll do a, here's everything this publisher has ever produced in comics or something, or this creator or something.
To that point, right now with Humble Bundle, there was Terry Moore, his entire library. You can donate $20 to charity, and they give you everything he's ever done.
Yeah. Well, and when you do it, you can tell how the money gets split.
Yep.
Because you can pick how much goes to charity, how much goes to the producers, and how much goes to Humble Bundle.
Exactly.
And there's minimums for each. So I tend to basically get Humble Bundle to the minimum they need to break even, or whatever they decide is their acceptable low end, and then split the difference between the producer of the content and the charity.
Yeah.
Because I want to maximize what I give to the charity, of course, But I also want the producers to feel it's worth their time to do it again.
Exactly. Hey, keep producing this stuff. Thank you.
Yeah. They've got books. They've got comics. Sometimes they have role-playing games. I've gotten a ton of Star Trek Adventure modules, a number of Power Rangers one from Renegade Games, too. So, again, if you want content that you own, that's a good avenue. If you want to borrow stuff, library is a good place. And then, again, the subscription stuff. There's no excuse to say, I just can't get the material I want to read these days.
Exactly. Everyone can do it.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Mo, I greatly appreciate all the work John and his co-hosts, including Kay and James, contribute to making the episode so enjoyable. Also hope Sam is able to contribute an episode or two in 2025. So do I. That's as much on me as anything else. Sam's been busy. I've been busy. I just haven't coordinated with him at some point. I do want to do that third volume of Shazam with him, maybe get back on the Titan stuff. But again, he's got, you know, that whole job thing we all have. He's got the family with kids and stuff like that. But certainly I enjoy talking with Sam. Ton of fun. Ton of fun.
Yeah. And by the way, Dr. Mo used to come to book club, but he's finishing up some stuff right now. He's been really busy on the education front. But when he hopefully comes back to book club in the future, every now and then Sam pops in too. You can see Sam in the book club. So FYI.
Yeah. Sam usually shows up for a bit.
Yeah.
And then from Marvin, thanks to John and this community. I primarily talk comic books with this group, but really appreciate this space.
Cool.
I totally agree. It's one of the things I like the most about the podcast. Isn't the podcast, it's the community that's formed around it.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm always pushing for more listener engagement and stuff like that, so other people can kind of share in that. We've got a ton of great people, a lot of great discussions, and if you're looking for a good place to talk comics and stuff, this hopefully will be it for you.
I agree.
Now, do you want me to give a quick rundown of the episode stats for the year?
Yes, I think that would be cool. I always like to hear them.
All right. Did 107 episodes in 2024.
Very cool.
For a total of 93 hours, 52 minutes, and 7 seconds.
Wow.
That's about 3.875 days of content for the year.
Wow.
9 of those episodes were Astro City spotlights, 9 were back issue spotlights, 1 was the Free Comic Book Day spotlight, 9 of them were Legion spotlights, 13 of them were monthly comic spotlights that covered from November 2023 to November 2024, 7 were movie spotlights, 12 were preview spotlights. 4 of them were roundtable discussions that included Q&As for December 2023, January 2024, and March 2024, at which point the questions kind of petered off and we were able to just do those in the monthly comic spotlight. And then there was the predictably irrational discussion I had with my sister on the book. And then my sister and I did 28 episodes on television spotlights. We did 9 Warlord spotlights and then the 6 episodes of the yearly comic spotlight. And this yearly comic spotlight's probably going to get split in half if I can find a good spot to split it. But as of the end of 2024, there were 2,300 episodes of the Comic Book Page podcast.
Wow, that's a lot of episodes. Because you don't keep it sequential, you're numbering, and you are far outstripping most podcasts out there.
If you go to the episode archive, there actually is a sequential numbering.
Oh, there you go. Okay, cool.
And I've got one in my Excel files where I track the episodes too.
Very cool.
But that's 110.4 days of content or so.
That's insane.
So I'm almost at the point where if you started listening on the stroke of midnight, January 1st, as the ball drops in Times Square, and just left the thing on constant play at regular speed, it would almost take you to tax time. I think by the end of this year, we'll be there.
Wow. That's really cool.
I do not recommend doing that. I think it's against the Geneva Convention. I haven't checked, but I think so.
A new form of torture.
For some people, yes, absolutely.
It's enjoyment, though.
Yeah, it's fun. The episode with the most downloads during 2024 was The Last Ship Season 5 that was released on December 28th of 2018.
Wow.
It is one that has slow and steady downloads on that one. I have no idea why. I've got a theory. Just a couple here and there, but like every day.
Every day. That episode. Wow.
And the strongest episode of 2025 so far, I checked this a week ago, so for 3 weeks I haven't checked again, but I'm pretty sure it's going to continue. The Last Thing He Told Me, Season 1, which was the final episode of 2023, because it just a little bit ago, boom, popped back up doing steady stuff on a regular basis. I'm assuming on the strength of an announcement of a second season.
Wow.
I've got a lot of episodes that do well, some not so much, others much better than I would have ever expected. And that's why, again, I want engagement. Let me know what you're enjoying and stuff like that. If you're listening, let me know.
Because if you don't tell us, yeah, you won't change it. You won't do it.
Well, and this is why I do some stuff that may seem a little far afield and stuff. That included the Spencer Sisters. That included The Way Home and some shows like that. Stuff my sister and I are watching. Sometimes we get to the end of something and it's like, yeah, we got something to say. Other times, no, not really. Let's move on. But again, 2,300 episodes so far. We're already most of the way through January, so another 7-8 episodes. But it's been fun. It's good. Again, if you've got suggestions for next year's Yearly Comic Spotlight Survey, please let me know sooner rather than later, because we're all going to forget by the end of the year. Otherwise, it's pretty much going to be the same set of questions. Unless things change enough with Diamond that I feel there are other questions that are needed to be asked. Again, want to thank everyone who provided feedback. We want to know what you think of the podcast, how we can improve it. Got some good stuff here. And again, if you don't participate, I don't know you're out there listening. You can participate by sending in preview spotlight clips, joining the conversation on the Slack channel and the forum, sending in questions for the monthly comic spotlight, or any of the back issue spotlights, Astro City, Legion, Warlord. Or just by emailing me and letting me know you're out there, you listen to the podcast, what you think of it. Or post a favorable review of the podcast if you're enjoying it.
Yeah, 5-star goes a long way.
And there's tons of podcatcher places out there with ratings and stuff like that. Share the podcast with friends, let other people know about it. Because again, I'm doing this to talk about comics, not to record into a microphone in the hope somebody hears.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No, that does it for me, and another year down.
Yeah, I just hope we're here a year from now with the comic industry left to talk about. We'll see.
Cool.
Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next preview spotlight. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayo, and thanks again for listening.